Hello, hello. Welcome back or welcome to season three of the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Roth, and happy new year. It's 2018. And your goal, your inspiration, your aspiration, your resolution is in full effect because here we are. The first work day of 2018 is when this podcast drops, the day after New Year's Day. And I'm really excited about today's guest. His name is John Gordon. And John Gordon is an internationally known best-selling author, as well as an international speaker. He speaks about positivity, about leadership, organization, sport, performance, life, relationships. I mean, he really can touch all the areas that a listener needs. And he's really a powerful guy. I got to meet John a couple years ago. It was a really amazing moment for me. I was doing the film Life in a Walk, if you could recall that one, if you've seen that and heard about it. We've talked about it on this podcast a bunch. And we were doing a crowdfunding campaign. And it was the final day of our crowdfunding campaign. And we're trying to get to $50,000. And we're close. You know, we're $2,000 away. $1,900, $1,850, $1,705. And all of a sudden, the email comes through and it's a guy named John Gordon. And he knows how much we need to finish it off. And he set a check-in. And I never heard of John Gordon. I didn't know John. I kind of knew the name a little bit, but not really. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple months later, we finally connected. And what I found was that John was just walking on the beach, saw the campaign come through on social media, and said, you know what? I would want somebody to support me in this campaign, so I'm gonna support this. Didn't know me, and just gave away, obviously, the support that was necessary for the film. And I always, you know, think back on that. I'm like, man, what a selfless guy. Anyway, so John is clearly, when you read his stories, whether it's the Energy Bus, Training Camp, The Power of Positive Leadership, or seen his videos online, or maybe some of you have even heard him speak to your company directly, he's power. I mean, he's got this amazing way about him. So he's come on the podcast today to kick off the new year. And a big reason why is because John said, hey, I do this tradition every New Year's Day. I take the plunge. I jump into the ocean. Now, he lives in Florida, so he's usually jumping into the ocean there. But today, he happened to be in Southern California. So he jumps into the Pacific for the first time with an intention around his word of the year. Check him out on social media at JohnGordon11, J-O-N, Gordon11 on all social media platforms. Or just go to johngordon.com. He's got a great post about his word of the day and his word of the year. So I said, sure, John, I'm in. And a couple friends of mine, we all join in, and away we go. And everybody has their word and their intention. We jump into the frigid water and just have a blast with it. It's a really good time. Anyway, I wanted to have John on the podcast because, number one, he and I have talked about it, just haven't been able to organize it for a long time. But I wanted to have him on this day to talk about the word because I think all of us have this intention we set for the year. So we break it down of how to hang on to an intention. You know, what's John's thoughts around intentions? How difficult are they? Well, why do 9 out of 10 people usually fail at their New Year's resolution? It's a really fun conversation. We also talk about his creative process and how he writes and why he writes and why he likes to tell stories and impact and share. And in my estimation, for John, it's all about giving. And it's this idea of, you know, if you can create something, the only goal is to give it away and give it away and give it away. And then only good and magical and beautiful things are going to come back your way. When? Probably not at the timing that you'd like, but they'll come back eventually. And that's a big theme of when I think about John and I see his smiling face and I think about some of our walks and conversations, that he's a true giver. Giver and selfless individual in ways that he probably doesn't have to be. And clearly that started with a film, but it's continued through our friendship. So I think you're really going to like this. Also, personally, for New Year's, every year for the last 6 years, I've picked a word. And didn't know John did his thing. He didn't know I did my thing, but we aligned there. Mine started in the ocean 6 years ago. I was with Dr. Michael Gervais. He's been on this podcast. His pod is awesome, called Finding Mastery. We're in the water, and he says, Yogi, what's the theme for the year? I was like, I don't know. What do you think? So we started talking about it, and it was going to be the year ago. And I said, all right, let's just go as hard as we can in every possible way. Every opportunity that comes, it's a yes. And over the last 6 years, it's been the year of go. It's been the year of purpose. It's been the year of curiosity. It's been the year of passion. It's been the year of instinct. And this year for me, it's the year of seek. And it's seeking to be my best self and seeking to bring out the best in the people I'm around. And if I can do that, it's going to be a really impactful and fun year. So John and I dive into that as well. So I hope what happens when you listen to this is, one, you gain some insight from John because he's fascinating. But two, you reflect upon your 2017 and your journey and how you plunge into your 2018, because that's here. Whether we want to or not, 2017 is over. We're here. Be where our feet are, and let's attack this year however we dream of. So I'm going to get out of the way. I think you'll really enjoy this one. Season 3 rolls on. We got a lot of fun conversations coming, but kicking off, you're 2018. It's a great friend of mine, somebody that I think is just a magical gift to the universe and to this world. Incredible storyteller, author, speaker, most importantly, father, husband, friend, John Gordon. Enjoy. Okay, here we are inside the Life Without Limits studio, Venice Beach, California. It's New Year's Day, joined by John Gordon. John, thanks for coming.
Great to be with you, Yogi.
You got it. Okay, so we're going to jump right into it, literally and figuratively. We just jumped in the ocean, and you invited me to do your yearly plunge. Describe that, and where did that come from?
Well, for years now, I've been jumping in the ocean. It was 2001. Lost my job during the dot-com crash. Didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. No insurance for my family. One of the most terrifying times of my life. I had a restaurant opening. And so everything my wife and I had, we put into this restaurant. Second mortgaged our home. I mean, it was not looking good. And I was just so fearful that I just couldn't live with myself anymore. So New Year's Day, I said, that's it. I'm just jumping in the ocean. I'm going to jump in and say, you know what? This is a year of no fear. By jumping in, I was going to say that I will not allow fear to control me anymore. That I was going to live a life of faith starting right now. And so in 2001, I jumped into the ocean and have done it every year since. And then this year, we just did it. Now, every year was in Florida. So this is the first year I've done it in California. Thanks for doing it with me. But you saw the power of that. You jump in, you come out, you just feel refreshed.
So 2001, you take this leap. And you've had a different word every year?
Yeah, every year, pick a word for the year. I didn't start the word until about 6 years ago because my good friends Dan and Jimmy were doing one word that will change your life for over 20 years, but they didn't tell me that idea until about 6 years ago. So I was just jumping into the ocean. So now I combine the jumping in the ocean with a word for the year.
Now, do they tie into one another? Like from the first year of no fear to this year, which we're going to get to your word, of course. And do you build them off of one another?
Usually not. I mean, they're not. But this year they seem to go hand in hand together. Other years they had, I told you about how one year I wasn't sure if the word was surrender or joy. And so I jumped into the ocean and I hurt my knee when I jumped in and I walked out. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what? And I heard these words that said, you can't do it alone. And I knew joy was not my word for that year. It was going to be surrender.
You know, a lot of people obviously go to you for wisdom, advice, just guidance in their life, right? Some you know, like myself. Some you get to know on social. Some you never hear from. For those of those individuals who don't live near the ocean, what's a way where they can kick off their new year in your eyes?
Right. You know, this is something you can do physically, but you can also do it in your mind. You don't have to take a leap into the ocean. You can take a leap in your mind and say, you know what? I'm going to have a different perspective this year. I'm going to have a different mindset this year. I'm going to approach this year differently. So you can take a leap of faith and in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, and in your soul. And so that leap of faith is just a decision to say, you know what? I'm going to go for it this year. Yeah. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to let fear control me. I'm going to go after my dreams. I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to go for it. Like, what do you want to do this year? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to be? What do you want to create? And then go after it without that fear that hovers over you. Yeah. And I still do this every year because I don't want fear to control me now. Because as you have new successes, new things, new challenges, fear still waits for you. It still can creep in if you let it. So you have to be bold every day. And you can't get complacent, as you know, right? You always have to continue to push the envelope and not become fearful of losing what you have, because then you can never create what you're meant to create as you move forward.
You know, psychology would say that to make anything happen, you have to write it down, you have to say it out loud to yourself, and then you got to tell somebody about it to your community to hold you accountable to that. I think that, you know, when we talk about fear, and New Year's is always great, right? Because everybody has, like, the moments they had. Like, last night I was with my friends, and we had these wishing papers where you'd burn, like, your goal or your dream for the year, and you'd send it up to the universe or the sky or to the heavens or whatever you believe in. And I'm curious for you, when you look at people setting goals, and it's a huge time for that, and, of course, there's all the trends and the stats that kind of ends, and it lasts maybe a week or a month, and it's the diet, it's the this, it's the resolution. how do you make sure that it remains concrete? You know, like, do you do this and use your social to share it with people so they hold you accountable?
Yeah. 9 out of 10 people will fail at their resolutions. 9 out of 10.
Wow.
50% will fail within the first few weeks. And so for me, it's about picking a word for the year that will drive you to be your best. And each year that word is different. And once you pick that word, it's like, okay, how can I make this practical? How can I live this word? So serve was my word 1 year. And I said, how can I serve? How can I make this practical? So I found a few ways I could serve at home. I started doing laundry around the house to help my wife. When I was traveling, I said, okay, how can I serve when I'm on the road? Okay, I can help people with their bags and the overhead bins on airplanes. So every time I would be there helping someone with their bag, putting it up or bringing it down. And I still do it to this day. It became a part of what I do now when I'm on the road. But it became a way to make this word practical. And then you want to make sure you're looking at that word each day. So you could put it as a screensaver on your phone. You could put a picture of it. But whatever, or some people do watches or necklaces or you name it. But the idea is to keep it front and center so you can see this word, so you can live it, and then find ways to put it into practice. And I think resolutions would actually be more productive and successful for people if they would keep that resolution alive. Too often we allow life, we allow challenges to cause us to lose our vision, to lose our optimism, to lose our hope. I think a big part of the battle is just staying positive, staying encouraged, and continue to move forward no matter what challenge you're facing. But I want to know about that wishing paper you were talking about. Can you just explain that for people who don't know?
Yeah, so I was with a guy who's been on the podcast a couple times, Ariel Joseph Town, who's an actor in Hollywood, and he's also a feng shui guru. And he's like the feng shui guru to the stars.
Awesome.
He's been on all the TV shows just like you and talking about energy and their space, and he shui'd my home out. And we've just been buddies. Preseason, we talked about the energy of stadiums and like how a fan can operate in a stadium and what players go through when the crowd's going crazy. And, you know, certain players now have different mantras when they get into the stadiums. Okay, I look at the 50-yard line on the third seat. That's like Manny Wilkins of Arizona State. And that's my center. Mm-hmm. And when things get hard, I go to that energy spot and I reset. Right. So we went through that and we went out for coffee yesterday. And I always, when my season ends, my New Year's about to kick off, I'm like, let me get around some amazing people and try to be my best and hopefully help them be theirs and learn something from them. So we hung out and I was like, yeah, I'm going to a little party tonight. We're talking about the new year. And he goes, yeah, I always talk before midnight. I talk about what happened in 2017 and I let it go. And then after midnight, I talk about where I want to go and I send it out.
Love that.
And I was like, man, I'm thinking about doing that with this group. And nobody knew it was coming. And he's called Wishing Papers. So we went around the corner of Venice Beach to Mystic Journey, this bookstore. And of course, they had them. And I never saw what they were, but they're little squares and you write on them. And it was really fun to go through with a group of 10 people. And I brought up the concept. This is like, the party's like almost at a peak and it's 10 minutes before midnight. I'm like, hey, everybody, time out. Let me just give you an idea. And they're looking at me with like the third eye. And then all of a sudden, people got into it. And people were writing down 10 pieces of paper, 15 pieces of paper, one piece. Some people did none.
Of what they wanted to leave behind.
Of what they wanted to leave behind or send out. And it was cool for me to do it. And, you know, for mine, it was, I wrote down for what I wanted to leave. I just put 2017 in expectations. Like, I want to let 2017 go because it's gone. You know, like, I'm really connected to this work of, like, be where your feet are. I'm like, I can't be there anymore. So whatever happened then that, or what didn't happen that I hoped would have happened from my previous resolution, bye-bye. You know, it's done.
Yep.
And then I set out what I hoped for this year. So it was really cool because it was real. My dad taught me the element of psychology because that was his field of study of write it down, say it out loud because maybe it feels weird, and then tell somebody. And I just think that those three basic tenets are so legit to accomplishing an aspirational goal, dream, mindset, what have you.
Yeah. You know, for the word things, people make paintings of their words and they put those paintings up as a reminder to live their word for the year. We did that 1 year, but as a family, we'll sit around the table, my wife and kids, and we'll talk about our words with each other. But we don't hold each other accountable to say, hey, you're not living that word this year. We just try to support each other as we're living their words. Like my son said, his word was truth yesterday. He picked truth.
Ooh.
My daughter picked
2017.
Yeah. Truth. And my daughter picked happy. You know, she's like, I just want to be happy, Dad. I said, okay, great, great word. And my wife said, commit. She wants to commit more to her workout plan, to fitness, to eating healthy.
Yeah.
She feels like she starts well, but then doesn't stay committed to it. So she wants to commit.
Yeah, I love those games or those thoughts. Like, we started last year at the holiday. So wherever I'm at for a holiday, at a meal, I say, everybody want to play a game? And they say, sure, fine. And you can't say no, right? And I go, all right, here's the game. However many people are at this table, everyone has to ask someone else a question they don't know the answer to. And you get to, say, one answer or a word, but the fun part is the follow-up. Mm. So, like, the truth of your son, how fun is it to talk to, how did you even come up with that?
And why?
Yeah, or your daughter, and happy. Like, you're in your 20s. Like, everything should be happy. Well, okay, let's talk about that. And I think that's the beauty of the New Year's. Like, it's not just the one word. It's the story behind it. And as a storyteller, I mean, all you do is tell the depth of fundamental concepts that we know.
Yeah.
And I want to stay with that, because here's my big question for you is, when I look at your stuff, I get your weekly emails, I see all your social stuff, and all those links will be in the show notes. Do you find from your audience, because your concepts, we've heard them.
Yeah.
But it's like you're a coach and you keep repeating, like, you know, lead with your front shoulder. Or it's like these things we need to be continually hammered into our psyche and our spirit. Have you found that on your journey of, like, hey, you know, sometimes we just miss on the simple joys and the simple principles in life?
I think that's what I do, is to remind people of the truth they already know. I tell them, I'm not a genius. You're the genius. My job is to unleash the genius inside you. And so it's to help you become all that you're meant to be by reminding you of the things that you probably have forgotten, of the truth that you have forgotten. And so it's about, how can we live these simple truths, these simple ideas that make us successful? Simplicity is powerful. And where there is something that is simple that you can focus on and do and implement, you then achieve powerful results. I think that we think it has to be complicated. We allow the clutter to get in the way by having all these ideas and processes and systems, when really, if you show up and you do something every day and you do it well every day, over time, you're going to be really good at that. I mean, that's just one simple concept. Yeah. But I'm basically sharing truths, like the carpenter, love, serve, care, right? Not revolutionary concepts, but to put in a way of saying, hey, love, serve, care. If you live that way, I can love people, I can serve people and show I care. If I do that, I'll be a leader and I'll build great success over time. Again, the simple is powerful, and getting people to implement. I think we live in a world that people are reading, you know, 500-page books, but how can you implement what you've read? And that's the key. So my stuff is so simple that people can take action on it.
Right. So interesting. I was just with this really cool kid. He's 2.5 years old.
Wow.
And we're hanging out, and he was saying thank you. And we talked to him about, like, looking people in the eye when you say thank you. And all of a sudden, seeing, like, the simple element of those two words and the simple concept of looking someone in the eye, it changed every conversation. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, just the simplicity of things that we know, but there's all these nuances within the simplicity, right? I mean, it's like everyone knows how to tackle in college football. Today's a big day in college football, right? Well, there's simplicity, and there's so many details and nuances among tackling somebody, right? It's taking your head out of the tackle. It's bringing your hips. It's running through the tackle. It's making sure you wrap up. Like, there's all these little beauties in that. So I want to ask you, as a storyteller, because you are suitably completed with a book that will be coming out shortly. How do you find the nuances of the creativity among your stories? Because that's where I think people relate to. Like, okay, I get it. The basic tenets of this next book by John Gordon, but it's the nuances that, oh, that was like my driver. That was like my coach. That was like my mom. That was like my whatever that we attach to.
I think that when you tell stories, as you are a storyteller as well, you know there are only so many stories that you can tell. So it's through the characters. The characters bring the principles to life. So I'll get a hit of the characters and who they are to tell the story, to reveal the principles. And then as you go along writing the book, it's funny because the characters start to speak. The characters start to come alive and start to live in a way that makes the story come alive, makes the principles come alive. And then at that point, the book really writes itself. So I'll start with an idea. I'll start with maybe a character or two. And then from there, the book really just starts to unfold. And I'll maybe have 2 or 3 principles, and the book's 10 principles. But as I start with my 2 or 3, that evolves into the next few. Because then you go, oh, well, this has to happen for this to work. Oh, this has to happen for this to work. Oh, you need this as well if you want to be successful, if you want to create that. And so that is really how it ties together. So I never really have the full story or the full all the principles in place. But as it evolves, you start to see how it fits together. To me, it's like a puzzle, and then you see how each piece fits together in that way.
Okay, so I want to ask a super personal question. One of our favorite authors is Paulo Coelho.
Yeah.
Whenever I have read his books, which are great, I'm always like, that's half of his story, and then he just makes it fiction and just cranks it up a notch.
Yes.
So for you, like, are your books, like, are they, obviously they're coming from your lens, but are they coming from, like, your experiences?
Yes, because I believe you write what you know, and so the fables are parts of your own story. Like Training Camp,
yeah.
Martin Jones, the running back, even though he's a different color than me, he is me in many ways. Like, I'm that guy wanting to make it, wanting to be successful. I was a running back. I always get along with running backs. Like, receivers. Yeah. Like, there's a thing with running backs. We when dogs pass each other, they, like, connect. Like, me and running backs, we just connect. And so, for me, it's writing that story from his perspective, but it's really my perspective, part of my story. So, I think each character, there's a piece of yourself in the characters. And then other characters are people you've met along the way and people who have inspired you along the way and people that are just iconic in other ways, like, you know, Coach Ken, that coach that has the wisdom, that cares, and, you know, he's iconic in that way. So I think there's a piece of yourself pretty much in the character and in the story. And I'm writing about what I know, like The Shark and Goldfish. That was based on me losing my job during the dot-com crash. The Energy Bus, George being negative and miserable and striving to be positive, that was me, who was miserable and negative. And my wife almost left me just like George. And I had to learn to be positive. That's sort of my story. So we all have a universal experience. So we're really tapping into the universal experiences. I'm amazed at these simple stories that I write, that they've become popular because they are so simple. And I think people at first almost knocked them down a little bit, almost discounted them because they were so simple. I think it goes back to what people really want, universal principles and a story they can connect with that allows to them, that inspires them to then go live their life.
If there was a GoPro attached to, you know, your laptop,
right,
and you're writing your books and it was on a time lapse, what are some of the things that you go through when you write? Like, are you smiling when you get to a moment? Are you crying? Are you frustrated? Like, what would we see if we saw you write a book?
Like, I just finished pretty much the other day. I don't know how it happened like this quickly. I was talking to our friend Erwin McManus, and he was starting to write a book, and I was starting to write mine. He goes, so you're going to write a book in the next couple of weeks? I said, yeah. And I saw him last night. He goes, did you finish? I said, yeah. He goes, what? I'm like, what? I'm like, I just finished. So it's like, sometimes it flows, sometimes it doesn't. It's me sitting there, getting up, going to get something to eat, coming back, starting to write a little bit, get a drink of water, getting up, coming back, and then all of a sudden you hit a flow, and then you're just flowing and flowing and flowing. At that point, you don't want to stop. You just keep going. And then when you're done, you know you're done, and then you have to come back again and then restart. And it's hard because to get that experience and that feeling, like having a game on Sunday and you come back in the middle of the game, or I mean, start at the beginning of the game, you don't have that same feeling. Each game has to take on its own character, its own energy. And so you have to get that feeling again when you're writing again. And that's the hardest part. So what I'd like to do, I like to write in the morning, write a little bit at night before I go to bed. So you get that feeling, right, which then creates the momentum to get up again and start that next morning. Because once I lose momentum, if it's for a day or two, it might take a few more days to even get back going again.
Mm. So do you have, do you like shut down your email? Like, do you not allow yourself to like browse?
I can't when I start writing. Yeah. What I found, like, since I've been here in California, this is the first time I've written in California. So I've written 90% of this book here in California. Mostly I write in Jacksonville, Florida. So it's interesting to write somewhere else in a new place, you know, upstairs office here. It's been harder because I've been getting up, checking Twitter at first,
yeah,
and getting on social media a little bit because I've had to take care of a few things because when I get up, it's, what, 10 o'clock.
Right.
East Coast time, and then I'll start writing after that. So it's taken me a little bit longer. The process has been a little different here, but I find that I'm at my best. I get up, stay off the social media, and just focus on writing.
Okay, so it's New Year's Day. We talked about the resolutions. We took the plunge earlier today. It was amazing.
How'd you like it?
Oh, my God. It was, To me, it was really cool because I've done a word of the year for the last 6 years.
Nice.
And they've all built upon each other. And where it started for me was in the ocean with Mike Gervais, a mutual friend of ours. Yeah. We're surfing, and he said, hey, what's the theme of your year going to be? I don't know, let's talk about it. So then for the last 6 years, we would always text or call each other around the new year and be like, oh, what are you thinking? How are you feeling? What are you doing? What are you going with? And for me, and he and I, we agreed the first year was going to be the year of go. I was like, let's just say yes to everything and go as hard as we can and see where we end up in 12 months.
That's cool.
And second year for me was the year of purpose, right? And then so I was going to go purposely. And then I was going to go purposely with curiosity. And I was going to go purposely with curiosity, but only based on things that I have true passion about. And then I'm going to go, great purpose, curiosity, passionately, but I was going to trust my instinct along the way. And then this year, my word is seek. So I'm going to do all those things and seek my best self consciously along the way and seek to hopefully bring out the best in everyone else I'm around. So to do it with you.
Why seek?
Well, to me, where I've netted out, I guess over the last 12, 13 years, I've been around a lot of cool brands, phrases, right? It started with always compete with Pete Carroll when I was at SC. Morphed into Win Forever was the company we started, the book we wrote. And then I started my own podcast, and it was Life Without Limits. And I love that, right? That's the title of this podcast. And as I've gotten older, I think that we all are on this journey to seek. Mm. Seek a partner, seek happiness, seek truth, right? We're talking about the words. Yep. Seek better jobs, seek more money, seek better food, seek better waves. We're just constantly, curiously looking for something in life. And I think that we're all explorers. I mean, this whole podcast is around the simple question of what does it mean to be human? And I think I finally netted out of all my interviews and all the analysis is that all of us are seekers. And that's, it doesn't matter what you seek. And I don't care what you seek. I'm inspired that you are. And I wrote this passage about 6 months ago where I said, I want to be sitting at 70 on a beach break next to the love of my life and turn to my left and say to her, I spent a life full of seeking. And that took all the pressure off of, I want to call the Rose Bowl. I want to be the face of the Olympics. I want to be in a film and be the lead in it. I want to do a play on Broadway. I want my own production company to be crazy. I want all those things. And yeah. I think they'll all happen. But I can't control if they do. I can control my pursuit and my seeking of those things, of course. But I can't control the outcome. So it's a real process-oriented word for me.
Love it.
And it's become my favorite word in the dictionary.
And it's such a simple word, simple concept, and yet so many nuances.
Yeah.
And such broad appeal that's powerful.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love that.
So anyway, we have all these disciplines around, the new year, right? Yeah. And our principles and how we're going to stick to it. But I did this talk at your Positive University, which I love, by the way. Everybody should make sure they subscribe to all the content you're kicking out. And where I knitted out was that athletically minded people, I think, are only guaranteed two things in life. They're guaranteed to love because we love the game since we were the littlest of kids. And we have instinct because you need it to play. You don't plan out in lacrosse the move you're going to make in midfield. You don't plan out your crossover in hoops, what you do on the slant route versus press coverage. You just do it. You're instinctive. So I ask for you in your craft, because I think people are listening to this being like, okay, my resolution is this, but I lose it because I'm one of the 9 out of 10 people that bail it on average in New Year's resolutions. How do you find what you love? And is writing what you love, and when did you know that? And if it's not true, what is it that you love, and how does writing feed that?
What a great question. How do you find what you love? Like, how do you find it? I think that you often don't find it. I think it finds you.
Yeah.
And you see how your life plays out, and you see what experiences you have and what energizes you. And for me, it was years ago when, again, I was miserable and I was negative. For me, it was like a prayer. God, what am I born to do? Why am I here? It wasn't what I loved. It was, what am I born to do? And what am I meant for? And writing and speaking came to me in that moment. And I never really spoke a lot before. I never wrote books before that. But I had this moment where I'm like, okay, I'm going to write and speak. I want to inspire people the way books have inspired me. I read The Greatest Salesman by Og Mandino and The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard and, The Alchemist, of course, and these various books, and they inspired me. So I thought, okay, I want to inspire others, but I would not have picked that for myself. I wanted to be in politics. I thought I was going to be a congressman or run for, Senate at some point, wanted to be president.
Feel free to continue that.
Yeah, we might need that in a few years. And I still may. I really have thought about, like, maybe in the future, if that's God's will for me, I will go do that, but only if I believe that I can have a true impact and make a difference and just step into it and probably get eaten alive, right? They'd be like, oh, Mr. Positive, deal with all the negativity, right? But I feel like you find your purpose. You find it when you are seeking. And the reason why we seek is because there's something that's meant to be found. Or else why would you seek? Yeah. It would be futile. It would be meaningless. And the fact that you seek means there's something to be found. And so the idea is to seek with this openness of what's meant for you. Yeah. And if you're open, it will find you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, both of us are fans of sports and college football. I know you work with Clemson a lot, and I've never met Coach Dabo, but he just seems amazing. But I love asking head coaches this. And I was with Chris Peterson a couple days ago. I was at the Cotton and Fiesta Bowls. And I always love asking coaches when they get to the top of the mountaintop, right? That the goal is when you're a young graduate assistant is to be a head coach. Who mentors you then? Like, who do you learn from? And I want to ask you that because you're the expert in your field. You get hired to be the expert on campuses with huge companies, with NFL teams. But where do you really get fed? Like, where do you train and make sure that you're growing?
I find I learn the best when I'm actually writing and I'm asking questions. So just by us having a conversation a week ago for this new book I'm writing, I said, hey, Yogi, tell me about what makes a great team great. Yeah. You work with all these teams. You're a coach. You played football. You work with Pete Carroll. What makes great teams great? And we talked about having the difficult conversations. Yeah. And you talked to me about the difference between dislike and disagreement. Like, you're going to disagree, but it doesn't mean you're disliked by your team. You can have disagreements. You talked about Tell the Truth Mondays. Yeah. And so these are the things that made it into my new book. I don't say they're mine. I credit you, of course. But I learned from conversations. I learned from asking questions. I talked to Kerry Walsh Jennings, you know, about, you know, what does it take to be a great team? You've been on the greatest team ever in beach volleyball, you and your partner, Misty May. So what made you a great team? So I learned from her. I'm going to talk to Michael Gervais in the next couple of days. I'm going to ask him some questions. So to me, it's learning from great leaders, great coaches, Alan Mulally at, you know, Ford, the former CEO of Ford, who one of the greatest positive leaders in the history of the earth. This guy, I mean, turned around Ford when they were losing $14 billion. How'd you do it? So by being with these leaders just like you, you learn so much and you realize there's so many incredible leaders that we can learn from and grow from. So I would say as I'm living life, I'm curious, I'm asking questions, and I'm learning. But what I realize is I need to do this more often. Like, I'm only doing it when I write a book. What I realized as I was writing this book is I need to be asking people these questions during the course of the year so I can get even more information, more gems. Like, the stuff in this book is going to be so cool because, I mean, you're talking to Peter Smith at USC, and he won 4 straight national championships with Steve Johnson. Okay, why? Right. 4 straight. Then UVA wins one, USC wins the next one, and then UVA wins the next 3. So UVA wins the next 4 out of 5, and I talked to Brian Boland. Okay, Brian, how'd you do it? So I talked to Peter in one conversation, Brian in the next. And now I'm being able to put together like this picture and story about what happened and why. And Brian Boland was the coach of UVA from 2001 to 2013 before he even won a championship. And then he wins 4 out of 5 after that, starting in 2013. What happened? He said, I became a different coach. I became a team builder.
Okay, so...
So again, these like the gems that you learn from these people are incredible. And imagine Steve Johnson on the beach. It's cold as anything. January before their season. And they're doing a thing with Navy SEALs. And all these Navy SEALs are now coming up to him to shake his hand. Why? Because he came back for a 4th season. Gave up millions of dollars on the Pro Tour to come back for his 4th season to win a championship because he was committed to his team. Wow. And those guys wanted to shake his hand because they knew the story. They had heard about it. Commitment, Navy SEALs, ultimate commitment, recognizing the commitment of this guy, wanted to shake his hand to meet him. To me, that's like just beautiful to hear that kind of story. And as Peter told me that, I'm like, that is just like a gem. So that made it to the book. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question. There has never been in the history of the planet more content available to consume around being your best self, right? Starting with your content, and I have a lot of people we
recommend on
the
podcast,
right? How do you recommend, and I'd love to know your how you do this for yourself individually. We can give great advice, but how do you make sure that, like, you're developing too? Like, you're doing all these interviews, you're doing all these talks. Like, do you take time, like... Like, when do you go to work on you? Like, I take a month out of the year in the spring, and I call it, like, self-personal development month, and I just go to work on me for a month. It's like a super selfish month of just introspection before I kick off into the next season, but some people don't have that time. It's hard to do, and I'm curious for you, with all the stuff that you consume, how do you make sure, like, it's you check yourself before you wreck yourself, and you see literally how you can grow? Yeah.
You got to have a checkup from the neck up.
Yeah.
I think that you you read books. I believe the goal should be to read a book a week if you can.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, if you can read a book a week, think about that, 52 books a year. If it's a book every 2 weeks, one book a month, okay, that's 12 books. So whatever works for you, pick a goal and try to do that. Try to watch a TED Talk a day. 5 to 20 minutes a day, one TED Talk. So watch a video that way. And as you're on social media, as you're perusing the web, different content will come to you that's meant for you. Sometimes I'll see a tweet, I'll go, oh, that's interesting. I start to read it, learn more about it, and then delve deeper into it. And then you find people that you resonate with. So some people resonate with me and my work. Other people don't resonate with me. So you attract followers who resonate with you, and then you resonate with other people, and you start to follow their content.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. You know, like, I can remember about a year ago, I was like, man, I give a lot of people great advice. I'm not taking it. You know, and I was at this point, I was in the ocean. It was amazing. I was in Biarritz, France, and I just had gotten, like, heartbroken. And I'm out in the middle of the water, and I'm like, yo, you should paddle in. The waves are really big. And I sat there, and I was like, well, you know, you're either going to paddle into a wave and get held under, or you're going to paddle in and you're going to rip it.
Wow.
Either way, if you don't paddle in, you're not going to feel anything. And I was like, screw it, let's go. And I did, and paddled in, and figuratively and literally, into the best year of my life because I took the chance. But it was one of the few times where I had the time, because I was disconnected because I was in the ocean. You don't have a phone, you have nothing. And I just had this inner monologue where I was like, okay, like, what do you got to make a shift? Like, what are we going to do here? And I always love asking people like yourself who are always on the go, like, when do you take the time to really be like, okay, how am I doing?
That's what we did today. Yeah. I mean, jumping in the ocean today was like, you know what? We're going to jump into this new year. Yeah. So we were intentional about doing something that was symbolic of the life we wanted to create, of the year we wanted to create. And so we just jumped in. And Thomas, who came and joined us, I mean, he wasn't going to, and the last thing he wanted to do, but he said, you know what? He's a writer and speaker. He said, I want to, you know, be around people that are doing what I'm doing and connect with people like that. So, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go join these guys. So he joined us. I said, hey, join us. He joined us. And again, a group of people came together with our friend Scott, who you played football with at Pitt. And, you know, we just jumped in together. So I think sometimes you can't plan things. Just like sports, right? You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but you're just bobbing and weaving, and you're moving through the maze of life. You're seeking along the way. You're open to new possibilities, and you're willing to take those risks and chances and say, you know what? Yeah, I'll show up for that. I mean, I'll show up for that, because too often we resist the most what we need the most. Right. And so we resist life. We don't live a life of boldness. We don't live a life of courage. We don't live a life of risk. We don't go after things. We live in our safe little bubble. And I think that we just need to get out more and just try new things and be more engaging and more open and just go take chances.
Yeah. You know, I love your word of this year. It struck me because whenever I come back from a trip somewhere, I'm on my way to a trip here in a couple of days.
Where are you going?
I'm going to New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah. With my dad and brother. And they don't know it, but we're going to be in a van. So life in a van. Here we go.
And what are you going to do in New Zealand?
We're going to get lost.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to surf. I'm going to meet some of the All Blacks. And I really think, for me, at the end of my season, my process, I have to go somewhere and feel tiny. Like, as a reminder, then college football to me is the smallest sport with the biggest ego, right? Like, everybody's super important in college football, but Nobody knows college football in Europe or South America or Australia or New Zealand. Like, they don't even understand the game, right? So I always love going somewhere with just a subtle reminder of, like, man, we're just a part of something way bigger than ourselves, and getting out in nature. Like, I have to just, you know, I won't use my phone very rarely. I'll bring a real camera to take photos that way. I'll do a bunch of podcasting, and I'll do a boatload of writing.
That's
awesome. And I'll just brain dump and a lot of talks with myself.
That's awesome.
I have to get it out, you know, because I'm so... I go football from August 1 till the end of the season, and I give my heart and soul to that. And when it's over, I'm like, okay, we got a bunch of stuff built up in here. We got to throw it against a Word document.
I love that.
Yeah.
To feel small, I just go home. And my son says, you know, Dad, you just don't motivate me. And doesn't listen to a word I say. That's and my daughter so says, Dad, your tweet is horrible, or your Instagram post. You need to change that. So, you know, I just go home if I want to feel small.
That's good. Kevin Carroll says the same thing. He goes, they call me the poop whisperer because I got to take care of the dog. You know, when I come home, I spoke to 1,000 people. Yeah.
And my wife says, take out the trash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So before we get you out of here, I want to know for you, because you've had a bunch of cool areas of your life, right? You've had your upbringing life. You know, we could read all about, you know, the antidotes in your books and your posts. People can look at any of your YouTube videos if they want to gain more info on John. We'll have you back to dive into some specific topics.
Yeah.
You had your athletic career back against the wall. You fought through it. You became a baller. Right? You had your career that was something to falling apart to this moment of inception of, I'm going to go all in on me. So I'm curious now, here you are, mid-40s, and you've crushed it.
Getting old.
You're just getting warmed up, though, I feel, because so many new audiences are grasping on and loving your work. What makes you feel most alive among all the things that you do?
I would say it's taking on new challenges and just asking what's next and being open to what's next. So I never thought I was going to write The Power of a Positive Team, the book we've been talking about, you know, a few months ago. I mean, a few years ago, just came to me. And so what makes me feel alive, I would say, is speaking and writing, encouraging, you know, teaching, helping. So just, I get my best ideas when people email me and I respond to them and I help them with the challenge they're facing. That winds up becoming something that I'll tweet about that will be in a new book. And I find I get my best information when I'm helping others.
I mean, everything you said there was so cool because it was all gifting things away. Like, yeah. It wasn't about you.
Yeah. You know, I became who I am and do this and started doing this work when it really was about, how can I make a difference in this world? How can I be of service? How can I inspire and empower others? And so, yes, I get the benefit of that, but it really became about, how can I make a difference in this world? How can I impact the lives of others? And then I found that the more I impacted others, it was like I was getting blessed back with these ideas and information to bless more people. Mm. And so it just continues to grow. I don't think you can't outgive God. And so the more you just keep giving others, it's almost like it just comes back to you in different forms of blessings, the more you make your life of service. And it's like tithing, you know, I tithe and give to a lot of different charities. And it's weird. The more I tithe, somehow I just keep getting checks from other places that allow me to tithe even more. So every year I give more and more away, and yet money just keeps on coming back to give more and more away.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? We were on the beach earlier. You referenced the name Thomas. It's Thomas Williams. He's been on this podcast. Coach from NSC, played in the NFL for Belichick, a bunch of really talented coaches. And you talk about finding your purpose. And I'm curious for you, it's all about giving, right? You didn't say one word in your sentences that was about, like, you,
right?
So I'm curious, like, for people that are trying to find their way, themselves, their passion, what makes them human,
right?
Do you recommend, or would you offer somebody a thought to explore of just keep giving yourself away and you'll find out what sparks you, because then it'll come back?
Good friend of mine who is like an art director and a creative designer, he was worked for a bunch of different companies, a bunch of different brands, creative agencies. Well, he's been on his own, and he reached out to me about a few years ago and said, hey, can I help you with anything? I mean, I'm just looking to give my services to others and just to try to give back and help others. He told me how once he started doing that, he started getting calls from Disney, and some of these big companies out of the blue looking for his work and his craft. And he got some big gigs out of that. Well, he wasn't looking to do that. He was just trying to be of service. And so he did a logo for my daughter for a brand that she was building at the time in high school. And that's what I asked him to do. And he did it. You know, we've known each other a long time. And then he got this opportunity. And I think that's how it works. The more you give and the more you plant seeds, you don't know where the harvest is going to come. But a harvest does come. It comes for others and it comes for you. I believe that as you're striving to be your best, because it's about being the best you can be, you become someone who can bring out the greatness and the best in others. And so it's about planting yourself where you are to serve others. And when you serve others and you make a difference, you then grow into who you're meant to be. I think too many people want success for themselves and they want to be a brand and they want to be a name and they want to achieve success. But that's not how success works. You are a true success when you help others become successful. And Zig Ziglar said it many years ago. I'm not the first person to say it like this. Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
So what are you seeking here in 2018?
I'm seeking opportunities to, you know, make a greater difference. I'm seeking what's next in terms of film and movies. I know that I want to move at some point from books to taking books and making movies and doing something, you know, in Hollywood in a very positive and, you know, productive way. I really believe there's an opportunity to tell great stories in a meaningful, positive way. I mean, they've been told, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, movies out there that the positive ones that are very cheesy and corny. You know, I think you can do those kind of movies, but in a raw, creative, artistic way. So I think that would be fun to seek that. I'm seeking to be the best husband I can be, seeking to be more connected to my family. Again, my word connected this year is to be more connected to God, to be more connected to my family when we're all on the road and traveling, and to be connected to my friends and to people. Right. So you can't do it alone. You know, Kerry Walsh Jennings told me, you know, greatness is never achieved in isolation. And so you can't do it alone. So to be connected, I think, is how we become great. And you can't be a great team unless you're connected to each other. So for me, it's seeking ways to connect. I mean, this January, it's coming up. I mean, I am going to be slammed. I'm not going to be home much. I'm going to be speaking a lot on the road. And I know I have to stay connected to stay energized, to stay focused, to not get burned out.
We ask everybody on this podcast the same question. How do you feel about the word limits?
The word limits?
Yeah.
I think it's a great word. I don't believe in limits. That's why I love a life without limits, or living without limits, or no limits, as you'd say. Yeah, I don't believe in limits. I believe in the impossible. I believe in going after the impossible, in creating the impossible and making it possible.
And when the impossible doesn't happen, because it doesn't happen when we want, usually. Yeah. How did you deal with it when it was hard? Because now you're great at it. You're a master at it.
But it's like time travel.
Yeah.
It's going to be possible one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's not now, but it's going to be, we know it's going to be possible one day. Healing cancer is going to be possible one day. Solving world hunger is going to be possible one day. And so everything that seems impossible will be possible one day. So it's about our journey, I believe, as human beings. To be human is to seek to create the impossible.
And there's the title of the podcast.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. So when is this next book coming out, and how can people make sure they stay in touch with you?
Power of a Positive Team will be out probably in May. So probably May coming out. I'll finish it, finishing touches this month. And then they can stay in touch, johngordon.com, johngordon.com, and Twitter, at johngordon11, Instagram, at johngordon11. It's all johngordon11, and Oklahoma just scored, by the way.
I love it.
They just scored against Georgia.
Here we go.
So, new year, fresh start, new beginning. I want to ask you this. What does that mean to you, a fresh start, a new beginning, a new year? I mean, this is January 1st right now. We're having this conversation. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Hopefully someone will hear it within the next week or this month. What's your advice to people as they want to create their life? What would you say?
Well, I think it ain't real till you write it down. You know, like I truly believe that. I mean, I always tell college student athletes when I talk to them, I say, you talk like you write and you write like you read. So if you're not reading, you can't write. If you can't write, you can't talk. And I really think when you got a goal, a dream, aspiration, like you got to write it down. I mean, I was that way since I was a kid. And I am thankful that my fourth grade basketball coach crushed my dream because he forced me to start writing in journals.
Wow.
Because a journal never crushed a dream. A journal was like a buddy to me. A journal was like another character, right, in a book where that's who was always championing me. And then I selected my community, my tribe, to be people that would challenge me around my word, around my dream of course I was going to play for the 76ers. Of course I was playing for the 49ers. Of course I was, you know, Pete Sampras when we were playing tennis growing up. Like that was possible. And if somebody said it wasn't, you were out. And I think that's big. I think cultivating and curating your tribe and knowing that your tribe needs to evolve is something that I've gotten, it's just naturally happened in my life and that I've become aware of. Is that okay? Like everybody's in your life for a certain period of time, some extended, some for a flash. Right? I see that traveling all the time. It could be a flight, and that person you sit next to on the plane might be your life partner, or you may never talk to him again, but you had a great 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 90 seconds, and I'm connected to that. So I love the new year of it gives you the opportunity if you want a clean slate, but I believe like every story, every hero's journey, everything's connected. Right. So to me, it's really important to take inventory of, okay, what happened? Why did it work? Why didn't it work? Why did these plays work? Why didn't they work? Don't run the ones that didn't. Why the ones did and evolve them. And what I've done in my last year, I think better than I have my whole life, is seek out people that stretch me. You, Ken Black, Kevin Carroll, Pete Carroll, like some of my just friends that don't have huge Twitter followings, but people where I'm going to have a conversation. I'm going to be challenged here. And I think that's really critical for me now because I feel like I'm on my razor's edge and I want to stay there. Okay, then I need to have hard, diligent, real conversations. And there's no time for anything else. And I love that. And that's been kind of a way for me to really grow and evolve where it used to be, I have this plan. Okay, by 26, I'm going to be here. At 30, of course, I'll be on Good Morning America. And at 35, I'll just have my own show and maybe run Saturday Night Live. You know? And then that didn't happen. And it even happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was, you know, I thought something would happen to my career and it didn't. And I realized that, you do not attach to the outcome. And it's hard because we do, because we're humans and you want to win in that game. And I just said, dude, keep planting the seeds, keep watering it. And when it sprouts, my only job is to be ready. So I'm just training.
I still see Good Morning America. Today's show. I see that happening for you. No doubt about it. But again, it's always in God's time, right? I call it GPT. God's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Like there's a time for everything. Not when we want it. Yeah. We think we want it now. We think we're ready for it, but we may not be ready. Or maybe someone else needs to come along and then you're supposed to do it together. Yeah. Or maybe if you did this, you wouldn't have met the person you're meant to meet.
Yeah.
I broke up with a girl out of college and I was devastated. I was heartbroken. She was in Houston. I had to drive home from Houston back to New York. So now I'm waiting tables in Long Island, New York, living with my parents, feeling like such a failure. All my friends had jobs on Wall Street. I decided to move to Atlanta. Out of the blue with a buddy from high school, we just went down to Atlanta, moved down there. I'm waiting tables down there, get a bartending job. And then at 24 years old, this woman's walking down the street. I fall in love with her, and she becomes my wife. So you never know what's going to happen. But if I would have stayed there or if I would have went somewhere else, and the way I met her, I was standing on a corner and she was walking by. If I'm not on that corner, if I come out 5 minutes later, I don't meet her. So I think there's a divine plan and there's a perfect season and a perfect time for everything. We just have to, like you said, show up, do the work, plant the seeds, and enjoy the process. Yeah. And enjoy the harvest when it comes.
Yeah. Oh, you're the best, man. I'm glad. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Glad we did it.
Glad we did it.
I think people are going to enjoy the new year, man. And I know I can't wait to just keep checking in with you on your word. And I encourage people, if they choose their word, to tell their tribe, write it down, say it out loud, and have people check in.
Yeah, have a team of people or an accountability partner or a great friend that you do it with. And that you say, hey, how's your word going this year? How you doing with your word? And again, it's not something like you pass or fail with. Right. My word was still last year, like be still. It wasn't a good year of being still. I did not do well with being still. So I know that. So it's not like I failed with my word. It's not like I said, oh, I have to do my word again because I failed. No, it's a new word this year. Wasn't a great year for me with that word, but it's okay. There was a reason.
I love it. Well, John, thanks for coming on. You're the best, bro.
You're the best, brother.
I love it. As we always end this podcast with a simple phrase, the only limits that you have in life are the ones we set ourselves.
Boom.